Good morning, Avi. How are you doing?
Good morning, Brian. I'm doing great.
Yeah, thank you for being here this morning. And what a terrific new CD from the Deutsche Grammophon label. Let's see, it's just coming out, I think, next week. Is that right?
Yes, Tuesday, actually.
Yeah. On Tuesday. Excellent, excellent. Well, I'd love to talk to you about that CD. But first, I'm very interested just in your background particularly. You grew up in Israel. So tell me about the environment in which you grew up and what that was like musically.
Sure. So I was born in Beersheva. It's a town in the southern part of Israel, right where the desert starts. And it's a big city, but it feels like a little one.
Right.
It's like a little city with a lot of people, I call it. So at home, I absorbed a lot of different musical styles. Of course, the synagogue music. As a kid, I would still go with my father to the synagogue every Saturday morning. And that was a Moroccan synagogue. So all the melodies, all the liturgy was a Moroccan Jewish style. And that, I think, that is the sound of my childhood, I think.
Wow.
Other than that, of course, in Israel, being a country with such a diverse culture and influence, and people have been immigrated from everywhere, that obviously reflects on the music, because you can hear a lot of music from every kind of folk.
Right, right. And Israel has just cultivated that into a very, very rich musical culture, classical and otherwise. So how is it that as a young boy, you ended up with a mandolin in your hands rather than, you know, we think of a lot of great Israeli musicians like Yefim Bronfman. Why were you not a pianist? Or Gil Shaham. Why were you not a violinist? What is it that put the mandolin in your hands at first?
Yeah, that's an interesting story. I mean, it's quite by a coincidence. The conservatory in our town, the little music school where kids would go after elementary school and high school, had a mandolin orchestra, a youth mandolin orchestra. So imagine 40 kids playing mandolin from 8 to 18, something like that.
I can only imagine. That's quite a sight to put in my mind there.
And we had rehearsals every Friday afternoon after school, and it was really, really kind of a nice environment to grow up musically, very supportive, like a big family. And I joined them because one of my neighbors actually in Beersheva played the mandolin. It was one of these apartments, building apartments where all the doors are open and all your neighbors are more close than your relatives even. And everyone is in everyone's house. It's like, it was a really beautiful atmosphere back then. And so one of my neighbors, who was also a very good friend of mine, played the mandolin. And so he went. He was older than I, of course, and he went to these mandolin orchestra rehearsals every Friday, and I got curious about it, and I went once to see it, and then I said, this is what I want to do also after school.
You know, what strikes me about the mandolin, Avi, is that it has its limits, but it also, maybe those limits give you different opportunities. And what do you see as the opportunities that a mandolin gives you that maybe other instruments can't take advantage of as much?
Infinity of opportunities, because sometimes I feel so lucky. I'm not, you mentioned before, you know, the great pianists and violinists, and sometimes I feel really lucky to have that neighbor and to have that story and to have ended up with a mandolin, because it's all to be discovered. I feel every time I found new things to express with a mandolin, some new possibilities of expression. I don't see it at all as a limited instrument, and I do believe, and I do play in big concert halls, so
yeah.
I know it can fill concert halls. And the interesting thing is a lot of this process comes really from the commissions I do, from like new repertoire, new pieces that are being written for the mandolin. And sometimes it's the composer that helps me to discover something that the mandolin can do that I didn't think of before. Sometimes I would get a score from a composer, and the first thing I would say is like, wait a minute, you can't play that. It's not going to work. And, you know, change that. And then I would give myself a good hour to really try what a composer is. And then I would say, wow, okay, discovered something new. So it's really what fascinated me most about this instrument. It's like walking on a path that is being created, and not having also the big. Again, if I was a pianist or violinist, you have the path already. You have the big pianist who played that kind of repertoire and did it that way, and you kind of have to follow that. And with the mandolin, I don't feel I have it.
One composer who didn't write so much for the mandolin is Bach. Now, why is it that you decided Bach was going to be your focus for your first disc with Deutsche Grammophon?
So Bach has something in his music which is unique. We all know that, right? It's almost too banal to say. But it's so universal and so absolute that I think it crosses. I mean, it crosses every boundary of instrument. If you hear something, if you hear a Bach piece on any instrument, piano, accordion, you name it, you immediately hear it's Bach, first thing. And then it works. It really works because it's so powerful. The melody and the harmony, just the pieces themselves are so powerful that I think it really translates to every instrument. Beyond that, Bach was Bach accompanied my life since ever. That's the thing that I always played as a kid and as a grown up, and most of my concerts somehow include a Bach piece, whether it's solo or with orchestra or in a chamber setting, and I just love it. So it was very organic for me to choose Bach for the debut album.